Thank you very much, Lynn, for reading that to us. If you want to follow it, it'd be helpful, actually, if you had it in front of you, Psalm 143. It's on page 630 in the Church Bibles, so you might want to grab that and open that page up. It's a psalm about prayer, so it'd be good to start with a prayer as we come to look at it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does teach us today. And we pray that you would help me to speak your words faithfully and truthfully, and you'd open our hearts that by your Spirit you may lead us in your good ways. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, tomorrow is a special day. Does anyone know what tomorrow is? It is Monday, yeah, that's right. Very good. It's called Blue Monday. Have you heard that? Apparently a guy about 15 years ago or so sat down and he said, I'm going to work out what the most depressing day of the year is. Ever thought of doing that yourself? So he came up with these calculations. He thought, well, it's going to be after Christmas, because everyone's going to be excited about Christmas, but then, after Christmas you get a bit down. It's probably going to be after New Year, after all your New Year's resolutions have come and been lost. It'll be when the weather's not very good and it's still quite dark, and it'll be when people aren't financially very well off, and apparently some people get paid early before Christmas and then later again in January, so they're feeling particularly poor at this time of year. So he did all his calculations and he came up with a date, and he decided it was the third Monday in January is the most depressing day of the year, and so he called it Blue Monday. Now, a lot of people have looked at this and said it's complete codswallop. You can't calculate the most depressing day of the year. There's nothing to say that tomorrow you're more likely to be depressed than any other day of the year. And the reality is that actually, although Blue Monday's caught on because, it is pretty gloomy outside in January, isn't it, this time, and they've got nothing particularly to look forward to, although it is my mum's birthday tomorrow, it's sort of caught on as an idea that it is a particularly depressing time of year. But actually, dark times, depression, hard times can come at any time of the year. They can come at any point in life. They can be for all kinds of different reasons. And when we go through dark times, sometimes the Psalms are particularly good at expressing how we might be feeling. In this Psalm, Psalm 143, it says a Psalm of David. And David, you may know if you read the stories about him in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, went through some hard times. He was very successful, became the most successful king of Israel. He really established the kingdom properly from all his enemies and so on. But at times in his life, people that he had served or worked with turned against him and literally were out for his life. At some points, he was hiding in caves in the desert, being hunted by armies of people, eager to kill him. People that should have been his friends, not his foes. For him, for David, there were literal human enemies trying to kill him. Now, probably for most of us, hopefully all of us, there isn't someone out there desperately trying to kill you. Maybe there's not even anyone that you would really see as a particular enemy. But sometimes other things can be our enemy, can't they? It could be a health issue or an illness. It could be a situation or a threat at work or job loss. It could be an addiction. It could be your own mental health or way of thinking. There can be all kinds of enemies in life. And this Psalm, Psalm 143, is fairly vague about what it's talking about. But actually, the expression it uses to describe dark times is quite powerful and could be applied to any circumstance. And you may think, what is your enemy at the moment? What is the thing that's causing you the most trouble in life? And then listen to these verses from verse 3 to 4 again. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. The Psalms can be very powerful ways of expressing the darkness that we might be going through. In that sense, they can be helpful in themselves. When I was in my 20s, my younger brother took his life. He was schizophrenic, and the illness basically led him to kill himself. It was a terrible shock. I wasn't particularly close to him, but it still hit me quite badly. It was quite a dark time for me. I would say it was the only time in my life when I couldn't pray. And yet there were things that helped me through that time. Friends around me praying for me, which was a big help. But actually also, although I couldn't pray, I could read the Psalms. And reading the Psalms was a help as well. It was a way of connecting with God and expressing to God, even though I couldn't do it in my own strength, my own ability. Now, grief is just one form of darkness. And yet, one way to respond to dark times is despair. And that's even worse, isn't it? Despair is like giving up. Can't see any way out of it, can't see any help possible, can't see any way I can deal with this. And the psalm, and particularly beginning of verse 4, maybe expresses that kind of despair almost. It's almost saying, and one translation puts it, Lord, I give up. Can't cope with this. And yet the psalm doesn't give up, does it? The writer discerns a way out of this, discerns that there is help available. Because the other response to dark times is to seek help. And that can be seeking help for other people. You know, if you're ill, you go to the doctor. If you're addicted, you might go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. If you're in debt, you might go to Christians Against Poverty. There's all sorts of places we can go to find help and support, and it's important to do that. But of course, as Christians, when we despair, when we're going through dark times, we turn to prayer. We seek God's help because we know He is able. He gives us hope even in the darkest of times. And God can answer our prayers in amazing ways. One of the things, we didn't do an interview this morning, partly because I only thought of one person and he wasn't going to be here, but also because we've got communion today, so it's a bit tighter on time, but we will have interviews the next couple of weeks about people's spirituality. And I did an interview at St. George's this morning with Mark Ogden, some of you know him, about how he goes through the week. And one of the things he mentioned was the daily prayers that we have at St. George's and St. Luke's. And I know a lot of you can't make those because they're at 9:30 and you're working or something, but I find them really helpful to meet with a few other people, to read scriptures together, to pray together. And actually, what I find really helpful is that some of the people there almost can trust that when I give them a problem, they pray for it and things get sorted out. Sometimes I face quite difficult meetings as a vicar, or I think there's going to be a really difficult meeting, and the daily prayer in the morning, I ask them to pray for the meeting. And a number of times, the meeting's been far better than I expected and things have gone much better. God does answer our prayers. An even more maybe radical example last year was I went to a Christian meeting at another church. I was sitting next to this lovely old faithful Christian. And during the meeting, he collapsed. He sort of slumped in his chair. And we realized quite quickly that he was having a stroke. Got him laid on the floor, made sure someone called an ambulance. Someone who's much more medical than me was the other side and was doing all the medical stuff to try and make sure he's all right. But as I was sitting there next to him, he looked to me as though he was dying in front of my eyes. And so I did all I could do and prayed out loud. It was quite a busy meeting, so not everyone was listening, but I prayed for him, and he was completely unconscious, and then he came round suddenly. And the woman opposite, who was looking after him, said, God's answered your prayer. And he was taken to hospital and he had had some sort of minor stroke. But a few weeks later, he actually came to a meeting here at St. Luke's and he came up to me and said, at that meeting, I really sensed that something was coming from you, from God, that helped me at that moment. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happened. All I know is it looked like he was dying. I prayed and now he's all right. God can answer prayers in amazing ways. We can seek his help, that even in the most impossible situations, things can be transformed. And it's good to share answers to prayer, isn't it? It's good to be encouraged that God does act and God does work. But there can be a danger in that as well. There can be a danger in thinking, well, what's special about me that God answered my prayer? Or even thinking that we're special and God will always answer our prayers. And there can be a danger that we see prayer just as a way of sorting out our problems. And actually, I want to ask two questions this morning. Two questions I think this psalm helps us to answer. First of all, how dare I seek anything from God? And secondly, is prayer just about asking for support or help? Is prayer just bringing a list of problems to God? Or is there more to it? Well, let's look at those questions in turn. First of all, how dare I seek God's help? And you might think, well, that's a strange question to ask. But is it? Why should the God of the whole universe listen to me or you? And more than that, you know, we've all done things that God hates. We haven't lived lives that please God. We all know things we've done wrong. And the psalmist in verse 2 says this. He says, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you." I don't know if you've been following the news. Donald Trump's going to become president tomorrow. Have you heard that? Some of you are excited, maybe. I don't know. But actually, in the news this week, the Justice Department in America said that if he wasn't going to become president, he would be put on trial for doing things wrong in the last election. And if they thought if he'd been put on trial, there was a good chance he'd been convicted for it. Because he was becoming president, he'd avoided being put on trial for a crime that they thought he'd committed. And the psalmist is sort of saying, look, God, actually, I know that if you put me on trial, if you come into judgment for me, then I'm convicted. And he says that's true of all of us. No one living is righteous before you. As it says in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've got no right to come to God. You know, someone who's really upset you and hurt you and always gone against what you wanted and then comes and seeks your help for something, you might well turn around and say, no way, mate. And God's got every right to say that to us. We're unworthy. So how then can we come? How dare we then come and seek God's help? Well, the answer is because God is faithful. At the end of the psalm, when he does come to seeking the help he really wants, the psalmist says, in your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. We can't depend on our goodness, our rightness before God. But we can depend on God's faithfulness, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. And we as Christians know that even more than the psalmist, don't we? Because of the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It shows us how bad a situation our sins caused, that Jesus had to die for us, that he had to take the judgment for us. And yet, if God was willing to give his only son, that we can be forgiven, that we can be reconnected to God, that we can have God's help, then how confident can we be that God will help us? That he does love us. That in him there is no condemnation. How dare I seek God's help? Not because I'm worthy, but because God is gracious and loving and merciful and longs to help us. But the second question was this: in what way is prayer more than just a solution to my problems? And I think, again, the psalm helps us with this. I mean, you could, if you were saying a prayer, and probably my prayers reflect this, maybe yours do as well, that you go from verses 3 to 4, you know, Lord, life's a mess, I've got this really big problem, to verses 11 to 12, basically, God sort it out. We jump like that, don't we? That's how we often pray. But the psalm has all the verses in between. It has verses 5 to 10 in between. And in those verses, he's also seeking things. Prayer is about seeking. But he's not just seeking God's help with the problem he has. He starts by actually seeking God. Do you see that in verses 5 to 6? He says there, particularly verse 6, Verse 6, I spread out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. In other words, what do I really seek, God? What do I really need? I really need you. I need a relationship with you. That's what life's about. That's what meaning of life is. We have all these problems and these things, and we think we can sort out all the problems, but actually what we really need is to know God. Augustine of Hippo, apparently this is the earliest painting we have of him. I'm not sure he'd enjoy it as a photo or whatever, but he said this very famously at the start of his Confessions, which is possibly the first proper autobiography we got. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Prayer is about seeking God himself, seeking a relationship with him, seeking to know him and connect with him. And that is the heart of what we're about as Christians, isn't it? We can do that because of his mercy, his love, because of the cross. But before anything else, we need to seek God. And secondly, we need to seek God's transformation, God's guidance. Do you notice in verses 7 to 10 that three times the psalmist asks for God's guidance? So at the end of verse 8, he says, "Show me the way I should go." And in verse 10, he says, "Teach me to do your will, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground." In other words, guide me, Lord. Show me how I should live. You see, prayer is not just about seeking God to transform our problems, seeking God to sort out our enemies, seeking God to sort out the difficulties we face. Prayer is also asking God to sort me out, to transform me, to help me to be the kind of person he wants me to be. Prayer is about seeking God, seeking my own transformation. But it also is a practical thing. It is also there to help us with the problems of life that we face, the small things like worrying about a committee meeting, or the big things like worrying about someone dying in front of you. We are right to seek God's help, but prayer is far more than that. And actually, sometimes the problems we face, when we seek God first, well, we discover that compared with the wonderful, surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ, our problems seem like nothing. Or sometimes when we seek God's guidance and God's leading, we discover that actually the problems we face are more to do with me than the problem. And as you change, you learn to cope with the problem, accept the problem, or to live with the problem, or even discover you are the problem and get the help to change. And sometimes God does do amazing answers to prayer and sorts out the practical issues that we face. He does destroy the enemy, whatever that is. So prayer is about seeking. We need to seek humbly. We're not worthy. We trust not in our goodness, but in God's love. We need to seek God himself, because that's what life's about. It's about knowing him and trusting in him. We need to seek God's guidance because we need transformation. We need to become like the people God wants us to be. And we need to seek God's help for the difficult problems we face in this life. Let's go about seeking God, seeking guidance, and seeking help, and doing it humbly more and more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these psalms, that they're so helpful as we deal with the issues and struggles of life, that they bring us out of dark times and they bring us to you. Help us to be people that are seeking you in prayer, seeking your transformation of our lives in prayer, and seeking your help for the problems we face. But help us to do it humbly, trusting not in our own goodness, but in your incredible great mercy. Amen.